humans can do, which AI can do, and what they say that creativity is really the way to go, because AI can't imitate that. Well, at least not yet.
Always been fascinated with arts, and I was very much drawn into it. However, the arts have eluded me for years on end, and I tried to do some artistic work back in the day, but I guess I wasn't able to hone my skills since I kind of chose the other side of the spectrum as a profession. But hey, it's not stopping me from being curious and enchanted with any form of art, may it be music, visual arts, literary arts, or product design. So in today's episode, we explore what goes behind the creative mind and get some inspiration and motivation to kickstart any of our creative pursuits. So please welcome Brian, the founder, chief alchemist, and the creative genius behind Elemento, a design and manufacturing home studio that creates and curates ritual goods to inspire, cleanse, and heal. Welcome, Brian. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, hi, Glee. Thanks for having me.
How's it going?
I'm doing good. Pretty sunny now, so yeah. It's kind of, you know, how that affects your mood, so feeling pretty good.
So today we're picking your brain on some of our curiosities behind the creative process. So as a creative, what type of process do you go through? Just quite curious about that.
My process is more or less similar, regardless of the type of work that I'm doing, whether that be creating for my full-time job or creating for Elemento. So that always starts with, you know, understanding the project, of course, then getting inspiration with Elemento. For instance, you know, I make candles, decide on the fragrances, the labels, and, you know, digital materials for our Instagram and our newsletter. So it's kind of a mix of creating physical and digital products that, and all of that starts with gathering inspiration and, you know, just letting them simmer in my brain. So that's the regular, or like the very first step, and the part which takes a while. So after I've decided which direction I'm going for, then it's pretty much smooth sailing from there. There will be a lot of times where just, especially like in the process of getting inspiration and checking out how other people approach this kind of project, for example. So even when I'm like looking for inspiration, I kind of like feeling off, and just really just give myself some time when I feel like kind of doing it. So the thing with creating is like, I can't really rush it.
Exactly.
So yeah, I mean, if there's, it's not like you got a deadline and you just got to do it regardless. And that's the good thing about starting your own thing and a creative venture, because there's really not anyone who will tell you, you should do this and finish that, but it's in your best interest to, you know, to still follow a target, a release schedule or something. But it really boils down to how do you manage your time. So like, in order for me to like be in the mood to do that, you just gotta, for instance, I always like take some time off away from anything creative, like doing something that's not remotely creative, like maybe like taking my kid out for a walk, or like, you know, just walking around. And yeah, that's basically it. I usually get back in the mood to creating quiet, and there's got to be like less interruption to if ever I'd be like in that moment, you know? So yeah.
I kind of agree with you on that, because especially me, although I'm not someone who's that creative or something, but my job is, I'd say, for the lack of a better term, technical job, and being away for something on an everyday basis will give you that space in your mind, I guess, to think of right. something, maybe some eureka moment or something, and will get you that inspiration or motivation or something.
Yeah, exactly.
So I've stumbled across this this TED Talk by Sir Ken Robinson. He was actually knighted. So he said in that talk that we don't grow into creativity, we grow out of it, and that the school system is largely guilty of causing this. Do you agree with this?
Well, yeah, I would say so. I mean, I agree, but I think it just stems from how we're already in this type of society where in order for you to get a job, you must excel at certain things, which aren't necessarily, you know, creative, creative skills. So just a little backstory, actually watched that TED Talk by Sir Ken Robinson, and it's also one of the factors why we chose to have our son, he's 5 years old now, to be attending a non-traditional school where they put creativity. It's no means, you know, like an art school or anything, you know, it's nothing fancy, but going back to what he talked about in that TED Talk is that he did mention about it's how the curriculum demands you that you be good in this hierarchy of subjects, right? Yeah. So yeah, he mentioned about sciences, language, math being on top, and right down the bottom, you've got arts like music, arts and anything,
like drama,
theater. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, you and me are product of traditional education, and we've been, you know, we're witness to, you know, how the traditional system works. So how creativity at most times takes a backseat in favor of more concrete subjects like sciences and math. So when you fail at those, then you're in big trouble, right?
Yeah.
But when you're doing good in say music, arts, PE, theater, like nobody really cares. You like join a club.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, it's not, I think it's really unfair to say as well that, you know, it's like the traditional system. I mean, the traditional school is like really to blame for that, because the traditional school system only came out of the need to have, as what Ken Robinson said, the need to have people in the workforce, right? So it's funny there, because, you know how every subject, it ends with a ring, right?
Yeah.
Once science is over, and that's a ring. And they actually reference that to be like so factory-ish, right? Ah. So you're like, oh, it's break time. Yeah. So back in the US, like an industrial revolution, or like there was a need of like really a lot of factory workers. So that's how the traditional school system was made. And that ringing actually
is like a replica. That,
yeah. So like you're we're there like learning something, and that we're like destined to be like factory workers or something. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But in this age, I think especially that AI is like advancing really fast, and there are things that even humans can do, which AI can do, and what they say that creativity is really the way to go, because AI can't imitate that. Well, at least not yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, in our culture as well, I think creativity should be fostered first in the home. It's also the reason why we really pushed for a non-traditional school that believes in creativity.
Oh, that's very interesting, Bri. Is it like in the Philippines?
Yeah, it's Montessori education, basically.
Ah, okay. If you could also expound on that for our listeners as well.
Well, I think, you know, just to compare in a classroom setting, you know, traditional school system, we all are like more or less around the same age, right? So in the Montessori setting, then it's got to be like around 3 age groups. If your kid's like 5 years old, he'd have classmates who's 6, who's 4. So that way they'd have experiences dealing with older children. They'd have experiences dealing with younger children. In every step of the way, it's really like creative ways to solve problems. You got your materials, a simple math equation, you'd solve it creatively. And ironically enough, what they call their doing a subject, or like when they're learning a subject, they'd call it work. Yeah. And it doesn't really follow like a pattern of how back in the days we got science first subject and everyone's doing science comes next, English. And so in their setting, they're free to do what they'd like to learn on that given time period. They just got to be a supervisor. They call them the directors. Mm-hmm. So they just recognize that every kid is different. You can't really force what he would want to learn at that given time period. So they give the child the freedom to do what they want to do, as long as it's the type of work that is expected of them. They have nature walks, and it's not necessarily like they got to sit down and do math equations. And like they said, they're also doing math, counting how many dishes they're doing, like just incorporating those otherwise mundane subjects and doing things out of the ordinary and creatively.
Oh, that's very interesting. Back in the day in high school, we still have we have a lot of activities about arts. Yeah. If you remember, I think we had those drama plays and everything like that.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, I love those.
And you remember we had those plays where there's like a raconteur.
Kwentuhan. Yeah.
Yes. The best option would be just to get a job that puts money in the table. I mean, third world country, I think it's really about survival. I'd say it's not some entertainment or something like that, where it's not in the priority, I guess, at that time.
For real. Yeah. I mean, I mean, if you ever would go to like fine arts, you got to have the approval of your parents.
Yeah.
Because they're going to pay for it. And that's not going to be, you ever wonder why there's like the term struggling artist?
Yeah. There's starving artist even.
Starving artist. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You don't hear like struggling accountant or like struggling. That's not like thrown around, not too much as, yeah, that term. So I guess that kind of reflects how society perceives creatives as something like should be done just as a side hustle or something.
Exactly. Unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
That's the world we live in.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's the real concern, right? I mean, that's the only concern why people wouldn't really, I mean, go for something creative, do something creative in the first place, because it's not going to be like stable source of income right away. You gotta work your ass off to be like even be recognized, so that you know your creations would be worth something.
What would you do if you knew that you couldn't fail, and what do you think is worth doing creatively even if you do fail?
Right, that's a very hard question. I mean, there are a lot of things. I think if you ask anyone what they would do creative, and there's a lot of questions. I mean, the answers that comes to mind, but I think I'm gonna focus on what I'm doing right now, because I found it really fulfilling for me to do this, to run Elemental. So right now I'm like happy running that, although it's not, I mean, always nice, if you know what I mean. First and foremost, it is a business, so it's like starting your own thing, and with just you running that, it could get dark sometimes. But seeing how people get excited and actually thank me for making something they enjoy, I believe it's worth doing even if it fails in the end. Hopefully not. Have you watched, I mean, I know you sing and like you play the guitar still, right? Mm-hmm. And there was this show on Netflix. I forgot the title. You know, the couple who like travels and then in a school bus?
No.
But so basically the girl there was like traveling, and at the same time along her travels, she releases these songs, and her songs are available at Spotify, and they're actually good. And she just draws inspiration from her travels and have that into songs. And it's actually nice. And it's, I just, you know, sometimes I just wish it could, like anyone could do that, but sadly, yeah.
Unfortunately, we have to eat.
Yeah,
we have to pay rent and stuff. So,
for real.
Can I ask though, what drives your creativity these days that you pour into Elemental? Or
well, the one thing I love about creating for Elemental is that there's just a different or like a multi-step process, and different kind of creativity comes into play. So it's I do a mix of a physical product, and then there's the marketing side of it, which I also make the materials for. So that's digital materials. And like the thing with that is that I just love creating and just, you know, exploring what could be done, how it can be done is really just enough driving force for me to keep going. So yeah, I mean, at one point you'd be thinking of how the labels would look, so that that's a different thing. And then there's, even if it's like Instagram stories, I make it a point that it looks like looks polished and it looks real beautiful. So I really put time into creating those, and not just like picking up an app and just put in text and call it a day. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's just, you know, how I prefer to do things. So there's just really, you know, seeing the final product and seeing, you know, how people react to it is just really, in a way, you're like showing them art. And that's really, you know, out of my full-time job, and it's kind of relaxing for me to do that.
With what you shared there, I kind of feel that it drives you. It's just because a lot of people have different drivers of their of what they do, right? So I think for you, that's what drives you. And with that, I kind of stumbled again on another topic or type of, it's like a test in Adobe has created, and it kind of linked to what you said earlier about like what type of creative you are, your creative type, I guess. So it's in the mycreativetype.com. Prior to this, have you tried it before? Prior to when we talked about it?
Yeah,
oh,
I
really?
Have. And yeah, and it's just, see, the one thing about this is that it's sometimes is, you know, just creepy how accurately these things go.
Yeah.
So I think I got the maker. Yeah, that's what it's called, as my creative type.
Can you share to us what the maker is?
Okay. According to mycreativetype.com, that you know, I'm the maker. The creative strength is focus and dedication and ability to achieve mastery. So yeah, untapped potential is taking creative risk and finding joy and play in the process. Not sure about that, because I find plenty of joy in what I do, but maybe that refers to something else. And my ideal collaborator is the visionary. I don't have any reference for what the visionary is. So yeah, according to on here, I'm driven, focused, and dedicated to the creative process, and has mastered the art of manifesting ideas and visions in three-dimensional form. So society greatly benefits from the work of maker types, who develop the systems, structures, tools, and innovations that the rest of us rely on. Yeah, this is like the first, this first paragraph actually surprised me a little bit of how accurate that is. Because, I mean, I guess it's not much of a surprise, because, you know, there are questions that you have to answer. And I really like to have something like a system put in place where I go back to, in case like I'm feeling, sometimes I need systems as a sort of an anchor for me to get back to work. When I feel like procrastinating, I just go back to my Notion to check on what needs to be done, stuff like that, what needs to be prioritized. And sometimes, oddly, that is enough for me to be, you know, to build up that momentum of creating again. So yeah, in a way, I really like structure and systems, and this accurately describes it.
Me actually, so I got the, what was this, the dreamer, which is like quite accurate as well, I'd say, because I have a lot of like emotions and imaginations and stuff like that. So, and untapped potential is using dreams to fuel real world action. To me, the dreamer, like how it was described, I feel that something that doesn't do anything, like it just dreams. you know. So sad, so sad, right? And then,
well, you did start this podcast, so I think, you know, that alone is, it's like winning half the battle.
Winning half the battle. Yeah. So the ideal collaborator for me is the innovator. I haven't checked what the innovator is.
They always say that self-doubt is the greatest creativity killer.
Mm.
Yeah. So
have you doubted sometimes though, right? In your
there will be times where, you know, that self-doubt just rears its ugly head and just come poking you around. So I sometimes, especially that happens when, you know, you those days when there's not much happening. Mm. So like, you know, running your own thing, it kind of like, oh, maybe the people doesn't, you know, maybe people don't like what I'm making right now, or like they're just not feeling it. And maybe they're, that's why they're silent, because they don't have anything nice to say.
Oh, okay.
And sometimes, yeah, I mean, sometimes that really just drains your energy. Mm-hmm. But if I feel like that's happening, it's something I myself is currently, you know, just slowly overcoming. Mm-hmm. You know, we're human, and gotta tell yourself that there will be days where nothing's happening, and there will be times when you're on a different high and you
on
feel like
roll,
you're the king of the world. Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think you might agree that, you know, whenever you release a new episode in your podcast, you feel really excited, you feel really accomplished in releasing this episode. But then, you know, maybe you look into the analytics, into your dashboard, and say, oh, I got a little very few listens, especially that you're starting. And like, hey, the feeling just goes downhill from there. And then, but then, you know, something comes along, and then you're planning on the new episode, and then you get an all-time high again. It's just really a sort of a roller coaster of emotions, right?
Yeah, exactly. What else would you like to share? Like, how do you boost your creativity?
It always pays for me to be like uninterrupted work. So most of the time, you know, being with a family, I always end up working, you know, late at night, and just making sure that I am not interrupted.
You're in the momentum.
Exactly. Or when I'm doing something, when I have to do my work in the middle of the day, pre-lunch, I usually just have my headphones on and listen to podcasts, listen to music and stuff. So there's not really like a super secret way, at least for me, to boost creativity. It's just you'll know when it's there, you know, you know when you're in that moment, and you'll just be surprised that, you know, you're done doing it.
Yeah, I think because creativity is quite different to something you do in a, like, you know, thinking, like the usual thinking and stuff. Like, I think, like, for example, for me, when I study or something, there are some tips on studying and stuff like that, right? But doing a creative work stems from that very deep insides of you. I don't know what it is, but maybe that's why there's really no, it just depends on each person, I guess. On
right.
So let's talk about Elemento. How did you give birth to Elemento, basically?
When I was a kid, I always liked aromas and, you know, smell. I mean, not necessarily perfumes. Not necessarily perfumes, but the smell of like spices and fruits and leaves and whatnot. I remember I used to like crush leaf just to see how they smell. And as time passed, I got to know products that have, you know, these properties, candles and oils. I remember dropping by a store after classes in high school. I think they're still there in Ayala.
Really?
That was my, it's called, it's basically Collage. I'm not sure.
Collage. Yes. Collage. Yeah.
So yeah, back in the day, like they're kind of a different kind of store now. Back in the day, they used to have these, a lot of incense and fragrances and small amber bottles. So that really got me curious in what these are. And something about this store, you know, being they just sell a lot of different stuff there, since it's like a souvenir shop or something. So like you got stuff from Thailand, you got some from other Asian countries, so it's really a really inviting store.
Yeah.
So yeah, I go there usually after class, and I got to know what sandalwood smells like at 14. Mm-hmm. So it was a really, you know, a total experience that helped shape the decision to start Elemento. It wasn't until late 2018 I came across a candle brand that inspired me to finally launch something of my own. So I began crafting ideas about how the candles would look like, what fragrances to use, and the overall feel and mood. And I loved every, like, there's just a different kind of aspect and stage of the process and how it tests your creativity on different mediums. So it's different, like just drawing and maybe drawing first for some other people and getting paid for it. There's just a different compartment of how you would want to deal with creating something like Elemento. So yeah, that's how it started.
Personally as well, I really like candles. Unfortunately, I'm down here, and as we've talked privately, it's like, oh, so hard to get Elemento from here, but hopefully soon. Yeah, I have a lot of candles here as well, and in olfactory senses, it's like it transports you to a different place, a memory or something. Mm-hmm. If you smell that kind of thing. Me, I'm into perfumes as well because I really like smelling stuff. So I have like different perfumes that I use when I travel. And then when I use mm-hmm. it, when I'm at home, let's say, okay, because 2019 we traveled and my mm-hmm. aunt gave me perfume. And so I use that perfume during that travel on a winter. And here, when I came back in Australia, and even now I use it and it's still summer. I feel like I'm transported to that place, you know, that kind of.
Yeah, that reminds you of that moment, right?
Yeah. What candles do you suggest, elemental candles do you suggest in each occasion or something like that for our listeners?
Right now, we've got 5 candles in our collection. So each candle represents a fragrance family. So we got Sanctuario. It's an oriental fragrance, and it's made up of frankincense and myrrh. So considering, you know, the origin of these two, so it's more like incensey and exotic and warm. So it's like this fits well in a personal space, like your bedroom or when you want some me time. And it really pairs perfectly well with another candle in our line, Shirazad, which smells of roses and roses and tea and sage. Yeah, so, you know, those two, the overall theme of that really is like a personal, intimate space. So you'd want to, you know, burn it in your, like I said, personal space that not many people go into, like your bedroom. So we've got our citrus candle, Bergamia, which is generally it's appropriate for your workspace or a place where you like to entertain because it's citrusy and nobody really dislikes the smell of lemon or a grapefruit. Mm. Yeah, so this one's made of bergamot and cedarwood. And the one good thing about it is that, you know, they say that citrus is said to encourage productivity and concentration. Mm. So if you like the sound of that, then it pairs well with grove. This one's another candle that we have, and it's quite similar with Bergamia, but more soft, woody scent. So it's like a forest scent after a rain, but with just a slight sweetness to it because of the oak moss, which is in it. We got Bear, which is not bear like the animal, but this one is, this one's berries. So it's like a fruity floral candle. Mm. So I mean, for this one, it's a versatile candle. It's like you could probably like burn it anywhere you like. I mean, it's a little bit tangy because there's a little bit of lemon in it. At the same time, it's sweet and it's floral. So it kind of, you know, kind of fits anywhere, really.
So for the bear, is it B-E-R-R?
This one's Icelandic for berry.
Ah, okay.
It's like that, yeah, B-A-E-R.
Is there like more suitable for women, something like that?
Well, I'd say the bear and Shirazad's mostly floral. So I could see more women gravitating towards those two scents. Most guys that buy from me, they'd usually get Sanctuario, which is, it's more of a soft, musky, exotic incense smell.
And you mentioned that the Sanctuario can be paired with, so Shirazan. you can burn two at the same time to have that kind of interesting. That's nice, because I tried candles, but no, just Bath and Body Works, because that's the only thing available in the market here. So there are some, but I haven't found. That's why I'm excited to try Elemental, because this Bath and Body Works, I've tried other candles, and then it's other candles, I do not really smell in the whole room or something. I think with Elemental, it has that kind of vibe that I've read your reviews, the reviews of your customers. Okay. And then, they mentioned that it really envelops the room and stuff. Even the box smells good and stuff. So I'm quite excited about that. So hopefully soon I can get my hands on it.
Hopefully.
So it's nice to have that, like, mixing. Any other things you want to share for Elemento this coming month of April, I'd say?
Yeah, sure. We're planning on releasing a couple of goods. This one's our first product that's not made by us, but by a design studio, a Korean design studio.
Ooh.
So they've worked with top brands like Innisfree. And they're primarily a design studio, so they do mostly the identity for products. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's a cosmetic brand, I think. And then, we're pretty excited about that. Innisfree.
Innisfree.
they've worked with Innisfree before. Innisfree. They have really beautiful products. So we're hoping to have that. We got a new summer candle, planning to release that, but it's not going to be a new scent, just a different take on what we usually do. Those are really something that, just playing around and what could be done, and not really sticking to it's going to be different from what you see. You know how our IG looks like, but since it's summer, it doesn't hurt to have a little fun.
So where can they find Elemento, right? If you could share your website.
Yeah, sure. Our website is shopelemento.com, where you can also find us on Instagram. Usually activities happen on Instagram, but we're still available on Facebook and Instagram at elementoph. That's ElementoPh.
All right.
Just say hi, follow us if you want.
Yeah, that's great. And you do ship locally in the Philippines and internationally?
Yeah, we do nationwide shipping, but right now we aren't shipping internationally yet.
Okay.
I'm ironing it out, but there's not
ETA. Please let me know once.
Definitely, absolutely.
All right. So thank you so much, Bri, for sharing your creative mind with us this afternoon. We'll be watching out for your new launch on the new products. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Klee. It was really fun.
Hope you Zesties have enjoyed this episode. Don't forget to try out the creative type test from mycreativetype.com and tag Vanilla Zest on Instagram on which type you have. There are 8 different types, namely the artist, the thinker, the adventurer, the maker, the producer, the dreamer, the innovator, and the visionary. The creative type test is an exploration of the different facets of creative personality. This was based on a psychology research that assesses basic habits and tendencies to help better understand who we are as creatives. These are not black and white labels, but more of a spectrum that helps us unlock our full potential. So we may belong in more than one type and may change types at different points in our life or stages in our creative process. Thanks for listening. If you like this episode or any other episodes of Vanilla Zest, please share it to your friends, leave a rating on Apple Podcasts or any podcasting platform. Your support is truly appreciated. If you'd like to share your story or feedback, please reach out to vanillazestpodcast@gmail.com. Until then, just remember, when life is vanilla, put some zest to it. See you next week.